Vision.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees.
Hey, it works!
Our business's people and their love for trees. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Well, I guess we have to thank Mr. Sanders for fixing the computer. You know what he did? He just whacked it on the side. That's what you do with these things. You just whack them, and then they come around. They get that.
That's how you get projects done, by the way, too.
Oh yeah,
you just whack people upside the head.
I like a rolled up newspaper.
For puppies.
No,
he likes to recycle it when he's done with the flogging.
I don't want to be that mean to a puppy, but to certain people.
Then you shred it and put it in your compost.
You know, exactly. Right? I whoop them upside the head, and then you shred it and put it in the compost, so there's no evidence. So you can't, you know. So you brought in, that's Suzanne Malik McKenna in the studio, who brought coffee, what have I got here?
You've got a vegan muffin. Lemon poppy seed muffin.
Wow. Now, I wouldn't eat it on air, but Heather, of course, is.
I'm starving.
She's chomping.
I thought I had like another 30 seconds to chew, but I was wrong.
I'm very pleased to have you here, especially because it only took us like, you know, 6 months to put this visit together.
Did you like my joke this week? Sorry, I can't make it.
Oh, you burned
me.
You burned me so bad. She texts me like on Friday night, said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to be there.
And then I waited about 5 minutes before I sent them. Just kidding.
I looked at that, and I was already like texting furiously back. How dare you?
The blood pressure in your body just shoot out your ears.
That must have
been funny.
It was fun.
I believe it.
Yeah, you totally got me on that one. Thanks.
You're welcome.
That's my pal.
Make sure you're aware on the ball there.
Oh, boy. Where do we start? I know that a lot of people have been looking forward to this. They've written me and they say, I want to hear this conversation with Suzanne. And I guess a disclaimer, we're friends.
Yeah.
I like her.
You'll still give me a lot of garbage anyway.
I do.
Let's be clear.
What do friends do? I mean, I won't even start with recycling, okay? I won't even go there. Not to start. I'll go there later.
Yeah. Fine.
Because it's not your responsibility anymore.
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean I don't care about the environment just because I don't, you know. So there. But I'll still debate you anytime, my
friend. You were such a hack in office.
Yeah, that's a lot of people called me. Total bureaucrat.
You know what? That is not a word that applies to you at all.
If you are in a position of leadership and you're, you know, producing, you know, discontent within your office, you've got to be doing something right because it seems to be par for the course when you're in any sort of managerial thing.
Yeah, but in my office, I had a fantastic staff, many of whom will continue in the city. So that's one thing you can absolutely say for the Department of Environment. We just had brilliant, you know, motivated, really engaged people.
And many of them you brought into the department.
A lot of people came in either in the Natural Resources Division or moved up the ranks within their own divisions.
Mm-hmm. And I was just putting together the list of things that you were either responsible for in part or you fostered, excuse me, during your tenure at DOE, and whether you were the commissioner or before then. Including Green Corps Chicago, Chicago Center for Green Technology, Tree Keepers. It was great seeing you at the Open Lands Luncheon the other week where you got to do the intro. And they had a big presentation there in honor of the 20th anniversary of Tree Keepers. And you and Scott Jamieson had a lot to do with putting that together, I guess.
Yeah, I was brought on to think about a new kind of program around urban forestry. They had the Neighborhoods program that was mostly focused on tree planting. You know, Mayor Daley came on board and was really engaged in that, of course. It was really, in essence, his first environmental effort, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt that, and that's kind of how I've always felt we should work, which is collaboratively. Let's figure out who the teams are, the partners are, how can we help each other, how can we leverage the resources. So We started working with the Bureau of Forestry. The mayor had brought them back up from a division stance, really giving them the resources that they needed to do all they needed to do for our parkways and our boulevards, et cetera. We partnered with them, with the Park District, with the Care of Trees, Scott Jameson and Larry Hall, Joe McCarthy from the Bureau of Forestry, George Ware, God rest his fabulous heart, from the Morton Arboretum.
Yeah.
So just a ton of people who've done great work. The U.S. Forest Service were always there from the beginning, too. So there was a team of people. We brainstormed, we came up with the plan, and it's still going strong.
Did Mayor Daley like trees before this, or did you kind of talk him into how wonderful trees?
No. He loved trees. Mm-hmm. He loved trees. He understood that trees and greening really had made a difference in communities. He could see it. Anyone can see it. They can see the pride. The quote I used at Open Lands, trees are the, you know, our trees in the street are old trees used to living with people. Trees that remember your grandfather's name, right? So they have a long-standing history in our communities, and the mayor understood that and understood it was good for tourism. And from there, you know, his expansive perspective really changed. Went from trees and shrubs and flowers to nature and wildlife and green buildings and beyond. I think we all grew up together. We all evolved together in our perspective about what made sense for the environment.
Well, that's a really good point. The whole environmental movement changed during the time, after Mayor Daley came into office and through the end of his term. Things changed quite a bit. And because we had the Department of the Environment, we were able to ride that wave, so to speak, in the city of Chicago. And so, like you said, I think you're right. A lot of people learned things and got more the people who were already passionate got more passionate and they got more done.
Right. I mean, green infrastructure is a good term that people weren't talking about 20 years ago, right? How we put in permeable pavers where the water goes through, how we use high albedo surfaces where it reflects the light. All the different kinds of things we can do for stormwater, rain gardens, rain barrels, all these types of things combined can really make our infrastructure work better. So we always say that trees are just as important oftentimes as a fire plug. Some people would really argue with that, but when you think about the contribution that they make, and the Morton Arboretum just did a study that says our trees are worth $5 billion in the Chicago region.
Yeah.
For all the things they do for us, besides the things that they do as far as beauty and neighborhood pride, et cetera.
Well, a lot of people consider trees part of the family. When you lose a mature tree, it's almost like losing
a member of the family.
Yeah. We have I'm inviting phone calls, 773-838-9278, to talk to Suzanne Malik McKenna, former commissioner of the Department of the Environment. Max, hang on just a second. I'm going to get right to you. But you gave me some information as you walked in the door that was kind of interesting. Why don't you tell the listening audience about that?
What did I say?
You say what's happening tomorrow in City Council.
Okay, so tomorrow in City Council, the ordinance will be heard that basically dissolves the Department of Environment.
And who do you think is going to stand up for it? Anybody?
Well, I think that the new leadership needs to get up and talk about what's going to happen as a result, and that will be the new Chief Sustainability Officer, which is the new position that Mayor Emanuel put together.
Mm-hmm.
So about 16 positions are going to be cut, and then the staff will all be dispersed into a range of departments.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that that causes me concern, that I think one of the great things about the Department of the Environment is that it was, you know, even when I disagreed with you, and I didn't disagree with you on many things.
Sometimes you just disagreed to disagree. Let's be clear.
Not me. Never. That's not a road I go down.
I really like her.
Yeah.
I know
right
you do.
Right back at you, girlfriend.
Yeah. No, mostly it was that whole recycling thing that we talked about. In fact, that's what our question is on the phone in a second. Again, 773-838-9278 if you want to call in. But the thing about the Department of the Environment that was great is it was so visible. You couldn't dodge those questions because there you were. You were right out in front. This is what we're doing. And there's a kind of accountability that I'm afraid is not going to be in place for burying those functions in other departments.
I think there's definitely some concern about that. I would say that especially over the last 4 or 5 years, after we launched the Chicago Climate Action Plan, the work began in 2006. It was launched in 2008. We have some great departments doing great things. From Department of Aviation to Department of Transportation, Water Management, and a lot of our sister agencies, they're really doing great work. My concern has been, where does the core work, the research, the energy, the leveraging, the grant writing, and all those types of things happen that takes the new initiatives and moves them forward from green roofs to green buildings to a lot of the community-based work like Green Corps and Chicago Conservation Corps. So the best part is a lot of those are going to continue in different places with their staff. But there's something about having all of those together. And indeed, the Conservation Corps was teaching about recycling, whether you liked it or not, Mike. They were teaching about
no,
compost.
No, I'm glad they're teaching about
you,
it.
I'm just giving you garbage. They were talking about water and rain gardens and rain barrels. They were talking about climate. They were talking about site cleanup and gardening and all those types of things. And that's what it really takes, is to have that team where you're crossing all these range of different issues. And when you disperse, that's not quite as easy to do.
And the Emanuel administration's argument is that, no, now we'll be involved in every department. But my feeling is, no, the focus is not going to be there, and perhaps they'll have other concerns. I mean, I look at Green Corps Chicago, and they're going to Chicago Department of Transportation. Is that what I hear?
Well, first of all, Green Corps Chicago is a job training program, and it started out as community gardening, and now it does household chemicals management, computer recycling, home weatherization, those types of things. So some of those things feel a little uncomfortable going to a department that doesn't necessarily handle those things. But from the greening aspect, they're doing great work. They now maintain the city hall roof. They maintain the medians. They're actively engaged in some of our green infrastructure. Janet Atarian and her Sustainable Streets Group is doing amazing work. You should have Janet on if you haven't. She has the Sustainable Street Project along Blue Island. It's a mile long. It's the coolest thing going.
What is it?
What's cool
entail?
About it? Yeah. It's, well, first of all, it's high albedo, so it's highly reflective.
Mm-hmm.
It's permeable, so the water goes through it. They have wind turbines and solar. They have bioinfiltration. Sorry for the long term, but they have curb cuts. The water goes into these locations that's filled with native plants as opposed to going into a sewer. That's a huge issue.
I see that at the Morton Arboretum in their parking lot.
Right. And then my favorite thing, which makes me sound smart, is photocatalytic concrete. And that is, in essence, a surface treatment on the concrete that actually can take the pollution in a column 8 to 10 feet above the concrete and make it benign. So photocatalytic. Catalytic is change. Photo is heat, sun. It's unbelievable.
I've read about that, and that still blows me away.
You can take those pollutants
in a certain area above the pavement and negate them or neutralize them.
Exactly. I mean, and that's being done for other things, too, like refrigerants. So a company came to town, and they're taking refrigerants and making them benign as well. So there's a lot of cool things. There's a lot of technology. And I think our staff from Department of Environment will be in other places and hopefully integrate it to the other departments as well.
Max, you didn't stick with us. I'm sorry. I'm just so fascinated by what Suzanne Malik McKenna has to say. And Max's question was about recycling.
It was basically about Blue Cart and why it's taken so long up to this point. And now that there's no Department of the Environment, what does the future hold for it?
We might as well go down that road.
Okay, Mike.
Yeah, okay.
I've got other things to talk. A listener ask.
That's fine, and I'm always happy for people to ask me this question wherever I go, and they oftentimes don't like my answer. And you know, since Mike was calling me a bureaucrat earlier, did you not? No, you said hack. Excuse me.
Hack. Yeah, there's a difference.
Okay,
hack
excuse
is
me.
Much friendlier.
Oh, really?
I don't know about that. But
whatever.
He's a bureaucrat, so I wouldn't worry too much.
That's right. And that's pretty good. And you know, and it's potatoes, I guess. So
yeah.
Anyway, so recycling, it's tricky. I think that a lot of people with their, you know, aspect of knowledge about environment, oftentimes recycling is at the top of the list. It's something everyone can do. It's very important, and it is. When you take a look at all the environmental issues, I've always said to people, and they don't like this answer, you know, proportional effort for proportional impact. Okay, recycling is important. Landfill reduction is important, not continuing it. But when you look at the environmental impact and you look at how much time and money you spend on it, it's important. But climate change is more important. Dealing with our water pipes is more important. Let me back up and say that doesn't mean the whole recycling program isn't important.
No, and I will say that I've seen your presentation. I've seen your pie charts, and you use the pie chart, and you say, here's the impact of recycling versus the impact of other things,
right.
And in the pie, it's a smaller sliver.
Well, and if you think about, so we did a waste characterization study over a couple of years. We followed the garbage trucks around. We went to all the waste transfer facilities. 14% of our waste stream in the city of Chicago is residential. 14%. Okay, people think it's a much larger proportion.
When you say residential, does that include high rise?
It includes the single family, 4 units and less.
Okay, so
then
we're talking blue car. What is eligible for blue car?
Right, but then you take high rise, commercial, and industrial, mm-hmm. and that's another 26%. So when you start thinking about our waste stream, 41% is businesses, commercial, industrial, and residential. Then a total of almost 59% is construction and demolition debris.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's our rocks, our bricks, our
sure.
everything, right? The cool thing about that is in 2006, we passed a construction and demolition debris ordinance. Doesn't sound exciting, but we call it C&D with love. And C&D, we used to require 50% be recycled of your materials. We've gone and done some studies. We've followed all kinds of projects. We're seeing 85% recycled. So 85%... of our 59% of our waste stream is being recycled. And it's also brought about businesses. There are rock crushing facilities in all kinds of places. So it's important to think about also the business implications of how we manage our resources as well. And I think something we always argued and I think people understood and embrace, which is important if you're going to push forward environmental action, is you got to make it in a way that's also good for business. You got to demonstrate that environmental action is also good for business too.
And I have always lauded the city for the C&D ordinance. I mean, it's great that it's so successful, and that is one of the great triumphs. The problem is, in terms of people who live and work in the city, they don't see that. You can explain
right,
till
right.
the cows come home that
it.
You're doing that, but they look at their bottle and can and say, how come this isn't getting recycled?
Right. So let's jump into blue cart. First of all, I'll say that the commercial industry, for instance, the office towers downtown are doing amazing work, right? A majority of their waste is paper. The Illinois Recycling Coalition and others have really worked closely on taking as much of that as possible, and they have very high recycling rates. And our Green Office Challenge has brought people in to look at both recycling water and energy. Blue carts. So we have 600,000 households, okay?
And that's 4 units or fewer?
4 units or fewer that are the responsibility of the Department of Streets and Sanitation. 240,000 households are currently being served by the blue cart. The key thing about blue cart or any type of additional recycling is you need new trucks, you need new infrastructure, and in essence, you need a whole new set of people to take those routes. On the East Coast, so first of all, our waste here is $40 a ton to dump. On the East Coast, it's $160 a ton. In San Francisco, it can be anywhere from $160 to $180 a ton. So guess what? Recycling pays. It actually pays for itself by not having to dump it. Here, it costs. It costs dramatically to set up a recycling program. So not only do you not have anything to pay for the infrastructure and the labor and those types of things, but it costs an additional amount. Not to say we shouldn't do it, but you have to think about those things. We did a study over the last 2 years about how it could be privatized. Now, this is a lightning rod issue because you have union jobs and all those types of things mm-hmm. that are part of it.
In fact, you're before Daley left office, you guys were the ones that set up the six areas in
right.
Chicago that Rahm Emanuel has used.
Yeah, which is great. And that's exactly what you want, going from administration to administration. Take the research, figure out what works for you best, and hopefully utilize it. So what we found with that is if we broke our city into six regions, that way you can also put it out and make it competitive. And so one company doesn't get them all. As a matter of fact, a company can bid across the board, but you can give the other companies the opportunity to meet that bid. And if it's a 7-year contract, they can get the capital investments necessary to put the infrastructure in and do it. And so what Mayor Emanuel has done, from what I understand, is he's taken, instead of all six zones, he's taken a few zones. And he's having those private industry contractors pick up the blue cart and having the city streets and sand pick up the others. And they're going to review it and see who comes out more efficient, saves money, and is able to carry out the process necessary to to serve the citizens of Chicago.
Well, I'm going to get back to that, but I want to also get to some of the phone calls. 773-838-9278. Suzanne Malik McKenna, former commissioner of the Chicago's Department of the Environment, which might be officially dissolved tomorrow in City Council. At least we'll be talking about it. I went to the website yesterday, City of Chicago, and it was already scrubbed from there. And it's not formally set to be dissolved until the 1st of January, but I guess they'll make it official tomorrow. Let's go to the phones. And Chester from Chicago, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Yes, good morning, and welcome to your guest.
Thank you, Chester.
Okay, I'm originally from the southwest side of Chicago, near the studio over there in Archer Heights and formerly Brighton Park. And after about 15 years out there, I moved this side of Evanston. One of the biggest things that I've seen, and I know you're no longer actively involved with the Department of Environment, unfortunately, but I'm sure that there's plenty of people listening and you might have influence elsewhere. The biggest challenge I've seen, being in my 30s, late 20s and early 30s, I wanted to bicycle from the southwest side and enjoy some of the beauty of both the lakefronts and also some of the western suburbs. But right over there at Archer and Cicero, Archer and Pulaski, we have, and we still have, no off-road bicycle paths. Chicago borders the Sanitary and Ship Canal, which is owned by the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District,
right,
the tunnel people. And Chicago boundary, the Chicago boundary kind of stair steps all the way to Harlem. There is a tremendous population, number of people out there that are kind of don't, I think that they don't have the access to some of the environmental benefits of Chicagoland.
That's right. That makes sense. I think when let's talk about the bike paths. Metropolitan Water Reclamation District has done some paths. If you look up near McCormick and all along the ship canal, I'm sorry, the North Shore Channel, and so in certain places they have been contributing and working with the city. The Department of Transportation has done amazing work with bike paths, off-road bike paths. In some cases, you don't have that green infrastructure, the railroad rights-of-way or what have you. Negotiating with railroads is extremely challenging. They're federally regulated only, and so you either find friends and work with them or you don't. And they also have very, very strict easements for safety, too. So I think what Department of Transportation and Mayor Daley and now Mayor Emanuel are really focusing on are on-street paths. If you've probably seen on Grand, they've put in this totally separate path with poles along there so cars can't come into them. A lot of the other paths are just painted on Lincoln, Elston, lots of places there too. So they're looking at the infrastructure that's there. There's a cost associated. There's an enforcement aspect associated. And then there's just the downright engineering specs of how wide a pathway has to be, et cetera. So I think that, you know, biking constituencies have embraced what they've been doing and have been collaborating with them. There's a long way to go, but I think that they're on the right route, if you will.
Yeah, there's plenty of bicycle paths through forest preserves, et cetera. Once one gets to First Avenue and roughly the Sanitary and Ship Canal. But between, say, First Avenue and Halsted, there's pretty much nothing there.
Yeah, it's rough. It's absolutely rough. And I think that also then requires you know, the surrounding western suburbs as well. So I think there's a lot of collaboration going on, and it's certainly not going fast enough, especially for the large-scale biking constituency we have here. But Active Transportation Alliance and others are working closely with the city, have been successful consistently in getting funding from the federal government, which is oftentimes the key thing that allows it to move forward. So I'd suggest joining the Active Transportation Alliance, getting engaged with them. They're doing amazing work. They just had their 25th anniversary. And they probably, more than anyone, they can give you the most information about how to get involved and be a good constituency member to move it forward.
And thank you for your work.
Thanks, Chester.
Thank you for calling, Chester. I'll tell you what, we'll put the link for Active Transportation Alliance up on our Facebook page so people can take a look at that. And I appreciate you calling. Have a good Sunday. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, 773-838-9278. If you have a question for Suzanne Malik McKenna, who's in studio, I'm very pleased that she's here. Let's go to line two and bring in Sharon. Hi, Sharon. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Suzanne Malk McKenna has been a champion for the Lake Calumet area for her years at DOE.
This is Sharon Wolek, isn't it?
Yes.
I did not place her on the show, I just want you to know. But I know that voice. You've been a great champion,
goodness.
Too, Sharon. You've been a great champion.
Well, I'll tell you, if you go
well,
to...
Well, I try to do as much as I can, but it's never enough.
Well, Sharon and I actually talked the other day, and because she sent me an email out of the blue when she heard that you were going to be on the show, Suzanne, and she said, Suzanne's done a lot for our area. And I said, hey, call in. You know, I think you should be part of the conversation, and I'm glad you had the time. I thought you were busy doing something this morning, Sharon.
I'm rearranging part of my schedule, but because this was too important not to say hello to Suzanne and not to tell her how very, very grateful we are for all she's done.
Thank you.
We're crushed that she's not part of the new administration.
Which is, and in my way of thinking, is insane. I certainly don't get it. And we're going to, I'm going to ask her that question in a second.
I was absolutely dumbfounded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, changes, we have to all understand, though. You know, I was appointed by Mayor Daley. We're all used to a leader who was there for 22 years. Mayor Emanuel has absolutely every right to build his own leadership team. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, he's got his own folks, and he has relationships, and wants to do it his way. And, you know, I have told him and his team that however I can help and support, I will, because the work of the Department of Environment and our environmental work overall is really important to continue. So, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why we're afraid that with the Department of Environment sort of being absorbed by another area, that, you know, there won't be the visibility that we need.
Well, I think you're part of a very strong constituency in the Calumet region, from the Calumet Stewardship Initiative to the Southeast Environmental Task Force and those types of groups. It's really important that you stay engaged. You guys have been active with the Chicago Conservation Corps and Green Corps Chicago.
I know that Sharon is part of the Chicago Conservation Corps.
Right, and I remember when you went through the class, as a matter of fact. But, you know, the Calumet region has a lot going for it, and the constituencies and the partnerships you have going are one of the key things. Both Green Corps and these other groups, the U.S. Forest Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife. So we need to keep that constituency going. I know Governor Quinn is working with Mayor Emanuel on the Millennium Reserve. It's another way of demonstrating the importance of the Calumet region.
Can you talk a little bit? What is the Millennium Reserve?
Well, I don't know totally, but I do know that the Illinois Department of Natural Resources has been part of it. A lot of the players that have been there know that by giving it a designation, bringing up its importance, reminding people what a clear, exciting thing it is. You look at the Calumet region, it was the largest post-industrial location in the world post-World War II. Sorry about that. And it's now covered with 33 million cubic yards of slag, byproduct of the steel industry. Mm-hmm. Regardless, it's got 3,800 acres of natural open space with incredible species, some state and federally endangered, and these amazing assemblages of wetlands, the largest assemblage of wetlands in the Midwest, when you look at it, amidst 6,000 acres of brownfields or abandoned industrial property. Huge opportunity to bring those things together. The Ford plant, the just-in-time manufacturing facility, a lot of the great industrial things that are going on, and amazing work with the Army Corps of Engineers, Fish and Wildlife, Forest Service, and Department of Environment's teams who will continue some of this work. But 600 acres that have been put into public open space just in the past few years.
Which is great, but because that area of the city, and I've talked about it with, you know, Tom Shepard, Southeast Task Force, mm-hmm. and others, that it seems like it's such a vulnerable part of the city that has just taken its share of hits, you know, as you say, with the brownfields and all the industrial, and now trying to put in a coal gasification plant that I'm not a particular fan of, and I know a lot of people who live down there aren't.
And a possible gun firing range next to the Hegwisch Marsh. We are frequently being assaulted in one way or the other. And so my concern, or my hope, is that being tagged the Millennium Reserve will give us some vague protection status against all this.
Well, and do remember that the Calumet Open Space Reserve, that all those sites will not be developed on. Some of the sites, like what you're talking about, which is basically the CID landfill area right near it, that's a different story. It wasn't. It was considered potential future land, but all the properties that are noted in the Open Space Reserve are preserved. They'll stay preserved. They're not going to be developed, and that includes, you know, one of the biggest, best new acquisitions, Big Marsh, 290 acres. It's huge. So there's a lot of great work going on. The constituents are really important to keep it going, keep it in people's on people's radar screen. And I agree, anything we can do to give it a designation, to raise it in people's radar screen is really important. And your organization, Sharon, are really critical players in that.
Sharon, thank you so much for the call. I'm glad you took the time and were able to call in. I really appreciate it, and thanks for writing, too.
And thank you very much.
And let me just say one more thing, which is the Chicago Park District's Natural Resources Group, headed up by Adam Schwerner and his team, are critical players and will be more so now. And we need to give them the support, too.
So we need to lean on Adam a little bit here.
We need to give him love. Let's put it that way.
Oh, is that it? Is
give
that how that works? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Sharon, take care and have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. Suzanne Malik McKenna is in the studio. Our phone number is 773-838-9278. Let's go to the phones again. And Dan from Chicago on the north side. Hi, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I want to first thank you for all of the great things you've done. And I'm wondering if you will be leaving some kind of a central information point to keep an overview and points of contact for all of the projects that were once covered by the DOE so that people can track it and have points of contact and not get lost in the maze of the city.
I think that's a really good question, Dan, and I think that's one of the fears that people have that, you know, when all these projects were under one department, and you could go to that department and you could look at the various things. Now it might be more scattergun. I'm not sure how you track this down. Do you have any information on that, Suzanne?
Not totally. I think it's yet to be determined how that's going to be done.
Okay. I hope it does happen because it'll be so important to at least have the information legacy that we can hook into.
Yeah. Right now, I'll tell you, Dan, I went to the website and it's kind of piecemeal at the moment. You have to sort of type in the specific program and see if you can track it down. Yeah, I know. I'm not happy with it. I think it stinks.
Well, Suzanne, actually, please leave something then.
I think it's talking to the different players. I think the new chief sustainability officer is going to have a big responsibility to demonstrating that communications, and that might be a good recommendation to have some type of core communication effort that demonstrates all the different things that are going on.
Yeah.
It could be done under the Chicago Climate Action Plan website, which has a lot of these different pieces connected, and that's an incredibly important thing to move forward. Rick and Mike were talking about the IPCC, International Panel on Climate Change. Don Wibbles was one of our key scientists on the Climate Action Plan. He's still very actively engaged with that, using the Climate Action Plan as an international model. All those things interconnect, and I think the constituencies, for instance, the Conservation Corps, there's now 300 certified members across the city, and now they have regional hubs that they manage.
Okay.
Those are the types of things that I think will keep these things connected, but I think the city has a commitment to doing that too, and they'll probably need a little bit of extra support and suggestions to do that.
You know, that is something. Thanks so much for the call. I really appreciate it. That is something that I wanted to get to because that's on my short list of questions. Chicago Climate Action Plan was such a huge deal for you, and I know you considered it a keystone for efforts in the Department of the Environment. What do you and it's weird talking to you about this because you tell me, well, here's what I hear, because obviously you don't have a pipeline to the mayor about these issues. What do you hear from the people who are still working in the department?
You know, the whole group is working really hard to continue the work. They're getting moved into different departments, transportation, general services, public health, et cetera. And they're very committed to the Climate Action Plan. And the new chief sustainability officer is, too. I think it's one of their key responsibilities. So everything from energy efficiency to improved transportation option, waste and industrial pollution, alternative and renewable energy, and then adaptation, which is really critical. We've moved adaptation to the front of the pack internationally. Aaron Dernbaugh heads up that effort. Olivia Cohn, many others are doing that. And it's really amazing to see what we're doing as far as what trees we can plant anymore, what invasive species we need to look out for. That really connects also to the Prairie Research Institute, which I want to mention a little bit. But I think that they have a leadership role. The staff are still working on it. The public health department, which is bringing in our permitting enforcement, they've worked with over 1,500 industrial partners now, and they're looking at refrigerants. Huge opportunity. It pays for itself quickly. It's good for the businesses, saves them money. And refrigerants can be 2,000 to 5,000 times more deleterious, more damaging than carbon dioxide equivalent emissions.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
you know, you crush a refrigerator, huge impacts on climate. So we found a way, working with industrial, small grants that they can do this work. It pays itself back in 3-6 months, a year, and then saves them long-term money as well because refrigerants are expensive. Mm. Managing them are expensive. So those types of things, you know, we want them to continue wherever they are. And I think that's going to be one of the organizing forces around the environmental work moving forward.
You talked about new chief sustainability officer, Karen. Is it Wiegert or Weigert?
Weigert.
Weigert. Mm-hmm. I don't know because she hasn't called me. She was at a Green Drinks at the Foresight Sustainable Business Alliance a couple of weeks ago and got kind of put on the hot seat because it's no matter how much you talk about recycling, and you can say, well, we're looking at it in the managed competition and so forth, and people say, when are we going to get recycling? I think, and this is, you know, and we've gone back and forth on this already on the show, but, you know, that's we got off a little bit, and I just wanted to bring it back to that. What do you think of the way the managed competition is working?
You know, again, I'm not, you know, privy to the active application of it. I have to imagine it's going to be pretty successful because the research that we did across the U.S., demonstrated that that's going to be a really positive way to go. The big issue is the unions.
Yeah, and the unions. And you know, if you see the reports, they seem to be picking up the slack and working hard and trying to compete with the private companies.
And those are union positions. Well, the Streets and Santas, yes. And then the private companies have union positions
right.
as well.
They're, they're paid less, like $5 an hour or less or something like that. That's what I've seen.
Well, they're probably paid less, but they're still there. It's definitely beyond a living wage. People can have a good quality of life in those types of positions. And I think there's also a discussion about grid-based garbage pickup, which is a bit of a political hot seat situation as well, because you lose some of the control at the ward level with your own staff, if you will. But it's been demonstrating both from street sweeping to garbage collection to plowing, et cetera, we could have a lot of efficiency that way.
Well, to show you, that is a difficult issue because I know and environmentalists know that a grid system is going to save money. It's going to save. It's going to reduce pollution. It's going to do so many good things. The opposite. The argument against it is: do we want to concentrate more power in the administration and less in the wards, where accountability is actually a good thing? If you can talk to your alderman and get things picked up. So what's the balance? My contention is always: all right, I'm sitting in the mayor's seat. What am I offering the aldermen to make up for the loss of that accountability they can have with their constituents?
Well, as an example, there was a pilot with street sweeping, and you can grid off street sweeping. And as a result, the aldermen could still get a street sweeper of their own for 2 days a week because there's that much kind of savings. So, you know, there's a lot of operational aspects to it. Department of Streets and Sanitation's really at the table thinking these things through. They always have been a major partner in this. And have been a major driver in recycling as well. So I think they're thinking about it. It seems to me that the new mayor is very committed to figuring out how this works. When you've got a difficult budget, you know, there's a lot of things you gotta negotiate. And I think there seems to be quite a commitment. It's all about the money. It really is.
While we're on the subject, before we break here, let's go to Dave in Madison, Wisconsin. Dave, how are you?
I'm good, Mike. As usual, fantastic show. And listening to your guest, What a loss to lose that Department of Environment, and I'm hoping your guest stays active and committed.
Let's stop right there.
Oh.
You are. I mean, this woman, are you kidding me? Of course she's going to remain active and committed. I hope it's in this area.
I love this city. I love the work that everybody's doing. I love the collaborations. I see Mike's Mila mug on the back, Midwest Ecological Landscape Association. There's all these groups working together. There's still wonderful staff working on this. I think, you know, the train has left the station. We need to support what's moving forward. And I think I can tell you I will be engaged. I love the city. I love the environmental movement. I love the grassroots work. And I love also the connection to business. And that's really a critical aspect to make it successful for the long haul. So it takes a village, if you will, to make all this stuff happen. And we need everybody to participate.
Well, it does. I'm glad to hear that. I grew up in the South Side, Homewood, and back way when I was at the University of Illinois, I did a study on what hazardous waste sites were around us in Homewood and Chicago Heights. Mm-hmm. Over 100 sites.
Yep.
And if you go down there, you look at the TRI, the toxic release inventory in Chicago Heights, we're still pouring out dioxins and all sorts of things. So we do have our work cut out for us, which is one of the reasons I called to support. I agree with you completely on the recycling. One of the things we found with recycling is that it often, you know, it's important, it's critical. We have curbside pickup up here, although the new governor wants to destroy that. But the bottom line is, it's not.
Wait, I got to ask you that. He's trying to take away curbside recycling in Wisconsin?
In the budget, they were gutting the recycling, and in fact, several Republicans surprisingly stepped up as well. So right now, it's still in place, but they're looking to gut everything. And they just had a meeting last week on how to dismantle all of our water laws, over 224 years of water law. And so these people up here are anti-environmental ideologues. And thankfully, we don't have that in the administration in Chicago. But one quick question I just wanted to ask or comment. One of the things I find when they dismantle an agency and disperse the people in other agencies is that there's not a critical mass. It's important to have people that are next to you, supporting you, and an agency that has that critical mass, because what will happen is these folks, the good people that will be dispersed, will have a much harder time within the context of a different organizational culture. And they don't have that oomph that you need when you got 15 people in an office that can provide a unified front.
That can be challenging. I think, the staff at the Department of Environment needs continued support and love. And I think the departments they're going into, David Reynolds is head of Department of General Service. He came from the Department of Environment. Rosie Andolino at Department of Aviation, a green goddess when it comes to aviation work. Gabe Klein at Department of Transportation understands these things. And remember that there are staff there that we've collaborated with for years. So I think what's really important is to continue to say how important it is to support those programs, to ask for them, to demonstrate the value at the community level and across the city, and again, the economic value as well, to keep it going. It will be challenging. Our team is going to have to figure out how to stay in touch and collaborate, and I think it's possible, but the leaders, Aaron Dernbaugh, Kevin Schnoes, Kimberly Worthington, Vic Rojas, Jennifer Hesse, they're doing amazing work, and they need to keep getting the support necessary. And I think the places they're going, it's going to be challenging, but I think they can make it happen.
Oh, that's great to hear. Thank you very much.
Hey, Dave, I wish you lived in Chicago so you could keep the pressure on the mayor, too. I think we just... Wow, that was weird. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And our number is 773-838-9278. We've got a few more minutes with Suzanne Malik McKenna. Give us a phone call. George, I'll get to you in a second. I have to take care of some biz here. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees, and primarily because Susan Malik McKenna is in the studio today, I want to talk about the ways that the Care of Trees gives back to the Chicagoland community. They support organizations like Openlands Tree Keepers. Suzanne helps start Tree Keepers. I'm a tree keeper, number 417, reporting for duty. And I know that the Care of Trees shows up for every course and teaches average citizens how to make the urban forest healthier. The Care of Trees also works with Green Corps Chicago, a job training green industry program, which is run out of the Center for Green Technology. The Care of Trees speaks to garden clubs and teaches their members how to preserve the greatest plants on the planet. Is there a reason why you wouldn't make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape? Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
I do want to mention...
Oh, here we are. You wanted to mention something coming out of the Care of Trees, and I unfortunately cut you off.
That's perfectly okay. I just want to say thanks to the Care of Trees and your other supporters for the show. You know, it's hard to get sponsors sometimes.
Sorry. you just hit a nerve.
The groups that have continued to support the show are really important, and they're all contributing not only to the show, to a lot of things across the region. So I say kudos to them and thank you.
Well, and I love my sponsors, and I think they're just fabulous.
And they love you too, Mike.
Well, you know, I try to be nice to them. I do.
The ones you should be nice to.
Yes, that's how it works, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, is that it?
That's the politic of it, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I'm all my sponsors. All right, there we go.
They're wonderful.
Bing, bing, bing.
It was an early morning yesterday. I was up before the dawn.
Sing along, Suzanne.
Woohoo, Supertramp.
And I really have enjoyed my stay. But I must be moving on.
This is in honor of you.
Oh, man. Thanks, buddy.
Oh, sure.
Wait, is it the tramp part or moving on?
It's the moving
on. It's the super part.
Okay.
There you go.
Nice job. That was very politic.
That's why he keeps me here.
That's right. She comes up with a good line every now and then. And, of course, the name of the song is Goodbye Stranger. So,
Oh, man.
I know. It's rough. We're going to get to a couple of things. First of all, we've gotten tweeted by Ron Wolford at Illinois Extension.
An amazing person.
He's just, I don't know how, you're not a big fan of Twitter, are you?
What?
Okay, there you go. What about Facebook? Because we've had people, wait, I think that's our next question,
isn't it?
Yes, yes. All right, let's go to the phones and George from the north side of Chicago. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
And your question is about that very thing, isn't it?
It is. My question to Suzanne is, you know, she's such a rock star in the sustainable environmental community. People are, you know, want to know what she's doing. What are your plans, Suzanne, as far as, like, do you have a Twitter account? Do you plan on getting a Twitter account, a Facebook page?
You know,
what you're doing?
I think, you know, I've been getting a lot of pressure from some of my friends to, you know, come into the 21st century, and I got to tell you, it's slightly challenging for me because.
But you text. You text like crazy.
Well, I text my buddies and give them a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
But I think I'm looking at that. I am on LinkedIn, which a lot of people have kind of said that I have to do.
I don't know how to use. I'm on it. I got like 300
connections. I'll help you with that. Okay.
Oh, can you help me with that?
Okay, maybe good. You can help me tweet.
All right.
Tweet,
I can do that.
Tweet. But anyway, George, thank you for that question, and I am considering it. It's important to stay connected with everybody. The thing about Facebook, it's like, you know, you write something and it goes out to all these people. That seems, I don't know, it seems a little funky.
It is a little funky.
Yeah.
People want to know what you're doing. You've got to set up something, you know, that people can follow you and see where you end up landing, or, you know, you're just too important for the community just to not let people know what you're doing every day.
He's right, you know.
Oh, fine. All right, I'm going to work on it. Does somebody want to tutor me on that? That would be just
George,
lovely.
We will keep track of her, and at the very least, I will keep track of her and let you folks know where she... And right now, you're getting your PhD.
I'm finishing my dissertation at Northwestern, working with the Nathan Cummings Foundation, to look at exactly what we're talking about. How do we link environmental action with public health and housing, really sustain the important work at the community level? You know, this is my love. You know, this is my passion, and I'm still going to be engaged.
And I don't know how you wouldn't end up with a big, you know, six-figure job somewhere. I mean, they're all listening, and if I were one of those companies, I'd be camped out on your doorstep, say, please come work for us. But
that's so lovely of you to say.
George, and we will keep track of her. Thanks for calling.
Go on rain barrels and those types of things, George.
Yeah. Before we go, two things we're going to mention. First of all, the one you just were telling me about during the break.
Prairie Research Institute. I have to talk about this. I am so geeked up about it. I'm on the advisory committee. It's a state advisory committee. They just moved to University of Illinois a few years ago. They used to be under the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. They have everything from the Advanced Energy Technology Institute to these surveys that some people don't even realize exist. The State Geological Survey, the State Archaeological Survey, the State Water Survey, the Natural History Survey, and the Sustainable Technology Center. What do these groups do? They take $15 million from state money, turn it into $60 million grants. I had this. There was an amazing presentation on carbon sequestration. The largest carbon sequestration project in the world is happening in Peoria in partnership with ADM. It's amazing research. It could change the world. It could take carbon created from 4 or 5 coal plants. And then when those plants go away, imagine that kind of work it can do.
You know, there's so much technology that would be so useful to us if we would only just get behind it. You know, that and biochar and other things.
Right, and there's research being done on biochar as well from the same group. Natural History Survey, critical people looking at Asian carp, purple loosestrife, all these types of invasive species that are only going to get worse here if we don't come up with the technology necessary. The State Water Survey, all the hydrologic work, we talk about the pipes in Chicago, we talk about rain barrels, those types of things. They understand how the water moves on the surface and below. This critical work, oftentimes you don't know about it, right? But it is happening, and it is what's driving so much of the work that's not only preserving our environment but improving it in the long haul, in context, again, with the business and the changing climate and those types of things. So I want people to check them out. Go on the website. I know Mike put a link there. But the Prairie Research Institute, again, part of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, my alma mater.
And they're trying to get funding like everybody else.
Right.
And, you know, and it's like Extension, where they turn some money into a lot of money because of the good they do.
Exactly.
You know, Extension is that way, and that budget has been slashed in the last couple of years, and it's been reorganized. It's frustrating to people who are trying to do all this good work.
Right. There's 1,000 employees that are part of Prairie Research Institute. Many are post-PhDs, master's students, et cetera, and the work they do, again, is absolutely critical for our world and for our floodplains and developing and all those types of things and looking at energy and water. This is the new technology that we need to embrace, not only for our planet, but for a future economy in Chicago and in the region. And that's what's so exciting about it. With a little bit of dollars, they turn it into four. And we need to be aware of what they're doing, support what they're doing, and check out everything. You will be blown away when you think of all the things we address on a daily basis, where the Prairie Research Institute has advised it, helped us figure out solutions, et cetera.
And I've got that link on this week's show on the Mike Novak show, or MikeNovak.net, this week's show. Before you go, I'm going to sandbag you here. I want to know.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. Well,
that's
not
a nice way to end this.
Yeah. Well, I
spit it out, man.
Let's go, dude. Lay it on me.
What did Rahm Emanuel tell you when he called you in?
That's rather personal, don't you think?
You don't have to give me the exact words.
He said, I'm not going to say it. The bottom line is they wanted to go a different direction.
Well, when they tell me that, it's usually we want to go in the direction of talented this time and knowledgeable.
But that's not to say that that's not the direction they're going. Let's be fair. Okay, he's got an amazing team. Their policy chief, David Spielfogel, has done a lot of really interesting things. And our deputies in the Department of Environment and a lot of our staff are staying. That's a smart choice, right? They're keeping some incredible people, and they're continuing to bring in grants, et cetera. So they wanted to go a different direction. There is no way that I could have stayed there and disassembled the Department of Environment.
Mm-hmm.
I would have kicked and screamed and gotten thrown out physically. Because it was too much in my heart, right? So the deputies and the teams there, they had to do this really hard work and move it forward. But they're there,
mm-hmm.
Most of them. Again, 16 jobs lost, et cetera. But they were going a different direction, and I have to respect that and support what they're doing, and we all need to continue to support that and advocate for the things that we think are important.
See, this is why you're where you are, and I am where I am, because
is smart and talented.
Yes, she is, mm-hmm. And savvy. And
she's going to be a doctor.
There's no point in burning bridges. You know, you need to keep building them. Not a bridge to nowhere, my friend, but bridges within the city and beyond if we're going to be successful. And it's no point sitting around complaining about it. We need to be solution-oriented, and I think that's what we're going to continue to do.
One of our tweeters just wrote, this is great, if you are not on social media, you will no longer be relevant in 5, 4, 3, 2, Wow. I don't know if that's exactly true, but it helps.
Hey, man, I'm not very technologically oriented.
We'll
I'm
get you
happy
there.
To have somebody tweet in or Facebook in or whatever those electronic things are and show me how to do it and help me out.
And the same person wants to put Chicagoland Gardening on iPad. Well, I'll talk to the powers that be. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
That's a great
idea. I also
idea.
Have to mention Shelley DeFranco, Catherine Game, Troy Peters, a lot of our team members in the communications group at DOE who've done amazing work on websites, and they were tweeting and Facebooking on our behalf when I didn't even understand what it was. So, and our Conservation Corps blog, all those things are out there. People need to connect to them and learn more.
And I got a bunch of those links on my website. I hope you go there. If you heard part of this conversation, it will be up on my podcast by the evening probably, and you can pass that along, and I hope you do. Thank you, everybody, for sending us messages today. Thank you, Suzanne Malik McKenna, for your service to the city and to the environment.
Thank you to the Department of Environment staff. Wishing you lots of love and luck, and I'm always there to support.